SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
And I'm not sure yet if after the University of Arizona Symposium, I've gone to Los Al for the flat meet and the Starlet and the Futurity. This year, I think it's not the next weekend. I think it's the week after. So I don't know if I can make that trip go. But I just heard the greatest story from Gary Young about the one of the great voices of not just Southern California racing, quarter horses or thoroughbreds, Ed Burkhart. We think he's retiring, but forget that. Tell everybody about this remarkable.
Well, in the 80s, when I went to California in the early 1980s, during the Hollywood Park meet, a lot of trainers would stay at a place called the Cockatoo Hotel, which was an oasis in the middle of a war zone in that area back at that time. And, you know, we would they'd stay there during the Hollywood Park meet, and after the races, especially on Saturday or Sunday night, there'd be most everyone would be in the bar area and restaurant. And one night I saw Ed Burkhart. He put a bottle of Budweiser on his head and did a lap of the bar, and the bottle never fell off. It was one of the most impressive things I've seen in all my years on the racetrack. And there were a lot of people around the bar. He could have easily bumped into somebody. Yeah, I mean, he did a lap of the bar. And, you know, at that time, Ed had kind of Brillo pad hair, but that should not take away from the accomplishment of doing an entire lap and not having that bottle of Bud fall off.
Outstanding.
It was very memorable.
Well, and now we will wait to hear from Ed because it will get back to him post haste.
You know,
I'm counting on Bob Marino, who's probably listening. Bob, but if Bob wasn't there, he will certainly let Ed know.
You know, that was Bob. That was in Bob's days of patrol judging and placing judging, and he. I don't know if Bob was around there that much, but you know, that was Whittingham and Proctor and. It was a true place to go to after the races. They did a scene in the movie Jackie Brown. The restaurant scene is done in the Cockatoo Hotel. It's now no longer there. Up until a year or two ago, the sign that still said the Cockatoo Inn was there. And then on one of my recent runs to the airport, I drove past there, and the sign had been knocked down, and I was heartbroken.
I'll give you two heartbreaking signs. One still remains. One is gone. For years after Monty's in Pasadena the Monty's sign was there, pointing into the lot.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, I noticed one year
it
was
gone. It's gone.
And that broke my heart. When you go to Chinatown. Yeah. And you go to Philippe.
Yeah, Philippe's, yeah.
Up the block.
Yeah.
There's still a sign for one of the Velvet Turtles.
Is there really?
Yeah.
God, the French dip sandwiches at Philippe's.
Oh, it's the greatest.
I mean, you know. Yeah, Monty's is the scene of where Mike Smith and I had our famous foot race one night. And he stumbled out of the gate, and I beat him. I don't think he was going to beat me anyway, but Mike and I had a foot race in that parking lot one night, and now the restaurant's gone and the sign's gone. The parking lot where the foot race took place
is still there.
Yeah.
But so is Mike. Mike is still there.
Yeah,
Mike's
still there, yeah.
There's actually a few Dodger fans who have probably still not left Philippe after the other night. They've been there for passed out for 72 hours.
It depends what the analytics crew told them to do. Just like the analytics boys were telling Dave Roberts what to do, maybe the analytics crew was telling the people when they can leave the, you know. The only saving grace, they got beat by a better team, but it's truly amazing that that a computer is telling a baseball manager what to do. It is.
One of the nicest things that come out of this season for the Dodgers is a Kentucky connection, Walker Buehler. From here in Lexington, who's going to be a star for years in blue and white.
He's been out to the track, shockingly, with Bob Baffert. He's been out to the track a couple of times with Bob. Seems like a very down-to-earth kid. And, Yeah, he appears to be the next Kershaw in waiting. He appears to be the next Kershaw in waiting. He does.
Well, and he was a Keeneland habitus, so it's not surprising that he's already gotten himself out to Santa Anita, and I'm sure he'll sneak in a Del Mar trip on an off day, or maybe when they're down to play the Pods.
Oh. I mean, I'm sure he's discovered North San Diego County, and if you've done that, you get down there any chance you can.
Let's discover some horses, Gary, going into the weekend. And before we talk about what we've seen here, why don't we start with what you saw at home and what impressions you arrived here with for the home team, the Santa Anita-based horses?
Let's see. Two-year-old Colts, game winners, he's a good horse. He is an imposing-looking horse. You know, obviously, him and Complexity are going to be 1-2 choices in that race. Game winner, his workouts since the front runner have been terrific. He appears to be growing, and I think he's going to take a lot of beating. I mean, Complexity was very impressive when I was in New York to see the Champagne that day. I think in Shug McGahee's horse and Jason Service's horse, Call Paul, I think he beat a couple of good horses, and he beat them soundly. With all due respect to the rest of the field, I would have to say that a win by anyone other than those two horses would come as a surprise to me.
Give us a perspective on the pair of Hollendorfers, Gunmetal Gray, and the late arriving dueling that Tom McGreevy bought for Michael Stinson, who broke his maiden two turns first time, and I think is very useful underneath here.
Especially from that post position. His maiden win was very impressive. He's probably going to be 12-15-1 in there, maybe even more. From that post position, if you punch up the video of his maiden race, he's trained well since the race. And if you insisted on me coming with something other than the top two, that horse would be one of the ones I would mention, yes.
Gunmetal Gray, who's been nosing around versus...
I bet on him. He showed marked improvement between his first race and his second race. His first race, I just thought he was okay. His workouts after that race, he got a wake-up call in his debut, and his works for his second race were terrific. It's difficult for me to watch a replay of the front runner and think that he can beat Game Winner at this particular point in time. I mean, he came off the bridle and was under major pushing early in the turn that day, and Rosario hadn't even thought about letting Game Winner run at that point. He's a big, good-looking horse, and I think he will run. I think he will get the distance and in even further distances. But as for this race on Saturday, it's tough for me to see him beating Game Winner in this race.
Let's talk about the juvenile fillies. And, of course, you've got a favorite in Bellafina for Simon Callahan. And Callahan is gaining a reputation as a good handler of young horses, and particularly young fillies. And, of course, Abel Tasman started with him, won the Starlet, mentioning Los Al as it happens.
Paid a lot of bills for me with that race.
Bellafina, she draws outside, but some thoughts about her progress since the Chandelier.
She's worked well. He hasn't done a lot for her. I mean, you know, she's a filly, and once you win going two turns, there's not a lot of reason to you know. I think that was her fourth race, so it's not like he didn't need to do a whole lot with her. I thought visually, coming to the wire in the Chandelier, I thought she looked better to me than she did look coming to the wire in the Sorrento and the Del Mar Debutante. Now, the Debutante, That race was conducted on a plowed field that day, and they did the final eighth in 14-4, but the track was not normal that day, and I'm not going to hold that against her totally, but I thought she looked better coming to the wire in the Chandelier than she did in her Del Mar races. You know, it's a classic matchup because you have horses coming from all segments of the country that have a definite license to win. I mean, Bellafina will be favored, and rightfully so, but Jaywalkin was, I mean, terrific in her win in New York. She ran faster than Complexity, and she's galloping like a freight train here every day. I know John Servant.
That bowed.
She knows what's coming, and she's relishing the moment. I think and she's going to be a lot better wagering value than Bellafina, as will both the horses from the center part of the country, Serengeti and the filly of McPeaks that won the race at Keeneland.
Restless Rider.
Gun to my head and I had to pick the winner, I'd probably pick Bellafina, but from a wagering standpoint, those other three fillies are going to be a lot better value, and they are all visually impressive.
Well, then fold in the other West Coast players. Reflect has actually been here for Keith DeSormo, and he brought a bunch over after Del Mar. But you've got Reflect out of here that faced off Bellafina. Vibrance, of course. We did have the visit with the Little General yesterday with Aaron Wellman.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you got Splashy Kisses, who I thought was really pretty out there today.
She was. She's got 19 lengths to make up on Serengeti. But, I mean,
other than that,
Lincoln, Mrs. Lincoln, what'd you think of the play?
No,
Splashy Kisses, she looked okay, and she's I liked her when she broke her maiden there. It's a deeper race than it has been on certain other years. Yeah, there's a, you know, everyone loves betting against weak favorites, and I don't, by no means do I think Bellafina is a weak favorite, but there's some horses in there that'll provide value if you want to try to beat the favorite. And let's face it, most wagerers are looking to beat the favorite.
The juvenile turf sprint, they would have to catch your eye basically here the last few days because Brian Corner, I felt bad that Corner got KO'd out of this race.
I felt bad for Fonz too, you know. I mean, it would have been nice to see Arthur come back here and have a shot to win another Breeders' Cup like he did with California Flag. Bulletin is kind of I haven't spoken to the Godfather, and I don't know why this horse was down in Florida instead of New York, but this horse was very impressive in his race, and he's marched in his gallop since I've came to town. I think you mentioned something when you were talking to Mr. Fernando earlier. I mean, Soldier's Call to run against older horses. I mean, who even thinks about 2-year-olds running against 3-year-olds? But this horse did it. Not only did he do it, but he ran second. I mean, you know, that's pretty damn good, you know. California doesn't really even have a representative in that race,
which is surprising, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, it is a little bit. I mean, even you know, you'd think you'd have a couple, but now with it's going to hurt going down for Fonz. There is no West Coast representation at all in the race. There isn't even any that were that didn't make the race on the also eligibles. I mean, that is a little bit surprising. Yes, yeah.
Two horses to talk about in the juvenile fillies turf, and Summering won her first two starts for Proctor and did it impressively, and it earned her this lofty expectation going into the Surfer Girl, Gary, and anybody that uses Thoroughgraph, for instance, could see plainly that she had won those two races, but she hadn't run fast.
Plateaued. She plateaued. I mean,
she hasn't gone forward an inch.
You know, and I'll admit I was surprised too. I thought when she, you know, she trained well for her first race, and I thought when she aired in that race, I thought she just looked like something that was very special that could maybe compete with the Euros in the Breeders' Cup and everything. And I mean, I very much respect the Glen Hill operation of Craig and Jethro, their trainer, Tom Proctor. You know, I mean, I respect them very much. But I'm kind of scratching my head a little bit here, too, as to, you know, why, you know, her second win at Del Mar was workmanlike, to describe it politically correct-wise. And her race at Santa Anita the other day and the surfer girl, you know, she didn't have the best of trips, but you didn't really get the idea that she was loaded down there before she did have the trouble. And, you know, two horses I want to mention in there. Newspaper of Record has definitely caught my eye for this guy, Chad Brown. And, I mean, she almost looks like a three-year-old.
I said this morning.
I saw him. He was schooling Four-Star Crook and some other horses in the paddock when I was on my way over here. And I asked him. I said, "Are you sure this filly's a 2-year-old?" And he started laughing and everything. But yeah, she's very impressive. A horse that's not near as big as her, but has definitely caught my eye on the track, is a European horse called East.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my enthusiasm for her kind of got tempered when she drew the 14 hole, which is not good. But if you're looking for a bomb in that race, that filly, she has trained well and marched in her training since she's been here.
I also want to ask about a horse whose name has not come up yet either. And Lady Prancelot was on the outside for a while, looking difficult to get in, and then things broke right. She ends up in the race. Joe Talamo can focus on this. She is in her two North American starts. She was behind Summering and then Laker Ball. Laker Ball came back to win the Pike Place Dancer the other day.
One up north, yeah.
Up at Golden Gate. And I can tell you this. Richard Baltus, when I brought Lady Prancelot's name up to him,
yeah,
this was about 3 weeks ago, he said, "We're praying we get in to the Breeders' Cup Philly turf." He made it sound like if she got in, she would be live. That, I mean, he made it clear that he was dying to get her here.
Well, he's got his wish. Now let's see what happens. I mean, he's definitely a force to be reckoned with in California turf racing, Mr. Baltus. And, you know, it would definitely be quite an accomplishment to win this race with this filly. So we shall see.
She'll at least get a run in, and she might just be a nice piece to. I my impression for me is that I'll use her as an underneath portion in there. Let's quickly talk about the boys' turf for a second, because the rare Baffert 2-year-old on the turf, much better into the field and drew well,
and has trained well since the race. You know, he's trained well. I mean, basically, in his embarrassment of riches, you know, Three Chimneys kind of, when Bob said, "Look, he's a really good horse, but I don't think he can be game winner," I guess this became a definite option for him. And, you know, there's no reason why he shouldn't run on the turf. And, I mean, he's trained well since the race. You know, obviously the top-ranked European horse did not draw good in Anthony Van Dyke. You know, it was that's not really what you'd want to see when you draw the 14 box. This horse 40 under has definitely caught my eye since I've been to town. He's definitely looked good in line of duty. Though he's a little late changing his leads, like some of the Euros can be when they first get over here, he definitely is a good looking horse. So those would be some of the ones I'd look at in there. But You know, Baffert takes a lot of ribbing for his lack of participation in turf races, but this horse could have a chance in this race. He could.
And how about Jeff Goldblum Bondi?
You know, he's benefited from a couple of good trips and really good drive rides from Gary Stevens. On the dirt in the morning, he's kind of he won't ever knock your socks off or anything, but he does come in off of two stakes wins, both times getting through on the rail, the Hick with good rides in both those races. Hick
and the Hick, that's his only mount in the Breeders' Cup.
You know, he's still my man.
Absolutely. And you know, Bondi came alive late at Del Mar, and he's ridden that wave.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he has. He's he usually knows what to do with a 2 year old, and he's done well recently. Yes.
Can Dapster go 1.75 miles in the marathon?
He can go 2.75 miles. I mean, I don't know if he's quite good enough. I mean, I don't. I'm not saying he's a cinch or a throwout, but I mean, the distance won't get him beat. You know, the distance won't get him beat at all.
Well, that people haven't looked at the marathon yet, and it actually is a fun race with a term of art who.
He'll go that far.
Absolutely, and he never. He was for me last year. He was my frank conversation when it came to when it came to O'Neill. He caught my eye that same way. Term of art, but Imperative, Finn Glass for Amos, Senior Investment, West or War Story, Big Dollar Bill, Honorable Duty for Brendan Walsh, who wins these all the time. The marathon. Maybe we should just assume that Brendan wins it. Toast of New York ends up landing here unless there's a scratch by Friday in the classic.
Big Dollar Bill, you're talking to the co-breeder of the horse.
Look at you. I forgot about that.
Right? Yeah.
I all about that.
I need my man Ian Wilkes to pull off. I mean, look, he's like kind of like Dabster. Distance isn't a question to him. And if it happens to rain like hell and it's still wet that day, Big Dollar Bill's father had a very good moment in the mud.
Oof.
One time. So
Midnight Loot, storming down Monmouth Stretch. That was tremendous.
So, I mean, we'll see. I mean, look, it sounds like they're pretty certain it's going to rain, but this track has always had a history of drying out fast. So let's.
It'll be pretty much gone done by that time on Friday.
Yeah.
And you would assume that we'd be fast by then. Do you get breeder awards for this at all for him?
Yeah. I don't think it's $100,000 a piece like it was for the real Breeders' Cup races, but he could pay some bills for me if he pulls this off.
Nice. You know? Nice. Let's go to Saturday. Gary Young with us. You go to GaryYoungThoroughbreds.com, of course, and Gary will help you pick out horses. You mentioned Call Paul. You had a setback with Gumtree Lane?
He popped a quarter crack in a place that couldn't be patched, but he had his first workout yesterday. My longtime clients Mike and Dawn House own him. You know, they've had a little bit of bad news with Hunt the other day, but they're as nice of people as you'd want to meet, and we have high hopes for Gumtree Lane. You know.
Absolutely, and I was going to say, Michael House, of course, Hunt KO'd yesterday out of the mile. Let's dive into Saturday's action, and we'll start with the filly and mare sprint. And Gary, I made the point earlier, if Marley's Freedom runs to the recent form, she wins. Yes,
probably. Yeah. I don't think there's a lot of doubt about that. No, I agree with that. Yes.
Now here, let me give you this. If this helps you maybe a little bit, there you go. You can use that, too.
I got this.
You got that? Okay.
Got it, yeah.
All right, good.
Yeah.
Anything else here? Obviously, Sadler drew outside with Catalina Cruiser, draws inside with Selcourt.
Yeah, no. He drew outside with Accelerate and inside with...
And Catalina Cruiser.
Selcourt is a nice filly. One thing that was, I know, because John sits with me and watches his horses train, And when she was going to have her big work 2 weeks out, she came on the track, and she was the first one on the track, and she broke off at the three-quarter pole. And just about as soon after she broke off, the siren sounded, and there was a loose horse running around out there. Mm. And make a long story short, what was supposed to be, and the exercise rider did, you know, he didn't pull her up, but he was obviously very leery, A, for himself, and B, and also the filly, you know. So make a long story short, what was supposed to be a 112 in work wound up like 114. And when you're coming off a long layoff trying to win a Breeders' Cup race going 7/8 of a mile, that's something you don't want to see, but you know, that was something that just happened out of his control. She is a big, strong, strapping filly. If it comes down to a size contest, she'd beat Marley's Freedom. She's much bigger than her. You know, Marley's Freedom, A, she has recency, and B, she has the post. I mean, those are two really big things. You know, other horses in the race, I've always kind of liked Finley's Lucky Charm. You know, Mia Mischief is a very hard trying filly of Asmussen's, but you know, I kind of get the idea that California is probably going to be the place to contend with in this race.
And speaking of California, a couple of follow-ups to some other players, Gary, and maybe it's me, and I feel bad saying it for the Roths and L&J Foxwoods, but it feels like anonymity for a horse that's never been out of an exacta. She feels disappointing.
You know, yeah, a little bit. She always works good. She really works good. You know, I know my friend Alex Elise Jr., they thought about going to New York with her, but Mr. Mandela, who is on the conservative side, was rather insistent on taking a shot in this race. And
which is unusual. So that's unusual in itself.
It is. It is. I mean, California speed and sprint races is always dangerous. We've seen that time and time again in the Breeders' Cup races. And I respect Mr. Mandela, but we'll see. I mean, you know, I hate to go with the first and second choices, but Marley's Freedom and Selcourt look pretty tough in there to me.
Bondi, Miss Sunset, and then, of course, Bill Spahr righted the ship in the L.A. Woman for Sky Diamonds just in time.
Yeah, Miss Sunset. You know, she won at Del Mar. Her race the other day really wasn't that much. She would have to bounce back in a big way. Sky Diamonds got a really good trip behind two dueling leaders, one of which was Anonymity the other day, and she ran a very good race in picking up the pieces in that race. She did.
Turn to the turf sprint, and you can dance around 16 different ways when it comes to these turf sprints, and everybody talks about the distance and we're adjusting it. Every time I handicapped it, I keep coming back to last year's horses, to Stormy Liberal and Richard's Boy and so forth, and Disco Partner. You also could basically say, give me Peter Miller and Jason Service, and I'll just box them up.
You know,
and Clement.
It's a tough call. I mean, World of Trouble drew out in the outside post position, but, you know, he's a pretty fast horse as long as he breaks straight and doesn't break out. You know, he could definitely have a chance for my man Mike Dubb. Disco Partner has been seemingly the king of New York turf sprinting for 20 years. Doesn't it seem like it? I mean, he's just been, I mean, what a great breeding operation the Generazos have. I mean, it's
amazing story. Stock.
I mean, and it's not like they have the biggest broodmare band or everything, but it seems like they always, whenever there's a New York bred turf stake, they're always have something in there. And you know, this horse is just, he's a true tribute to their breeding program and Mr. Clement, and keeping him around as long as he has. You know, Stormy Liberal, he's never going to win by more than a head or a neck, but he definitely knows where the wire is. Him and Conquest Tsunami ran very good in their preps for the race. And, you know, look, in turf sprints, a lot depends on trip, but those seem to be the contenders in my mind anyway.
The dirt mile, and we absolutely go through California here, and City of Light down inside for Michael McCarthy. McCarthy, one of the best stories in the Breeders' Cup. I brought this up last week in the pre-entries. Five horses for Michael McCarthy, who trains, what, 28, 30 horses at the most?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Have you ever seen him hit a golf ball?
No.
Oh, God.
Is it hideous?
No, he hits the ball out of sight.
Really?
Sometimes it even goes straight. No, he hits the ball a long way. No muscle tone whatsoever, but, I mean, when the time he gets, he's kind of like Charles Howell III of the racetrack. Once he gets into the hitting zone, it is just, that club head is going so fast, it just flies. Catalina Cruiser is, you know, I mean, again, it's kind of like the Philly and Mare sprint all over again coming out of the chute up there, in that the two best horses going in appear to be California horses, and one drew a really good post and one drew a post that you'd probably rather not have. You know, Catalina Cruiser's posted perfectly, and City of Light's down on the rail. City of Light did win the Malibu off the rail. His workouts before he left Santa Anita were definitely very nice. And, you know, I respect Firenze Fire very much, especially the way he ran in the Dwyer. I respect Seeking the Soul. But, again, I say California is going to be pretty tough to beat in this race.
I got to ask you one question, California-related. Phil D'Amato kind of picked up where George Weaver left off after Weaver brought that string to California in 2017, and then Matt Shearer left him there with Phil D'Amato, and Phil just kind of went on with him, and he's been as good as he ever's been. But D'Amato brings him back to the dirt in that Brubaker. He ran very well behind Dabster. Then he ran another credible race, grade one black type on the dirt. He has not one turned since his career debut.
No. To watch this horse train in the morning, and I know Phil has kind of said this too, you can't say he's a morning glory, but to watch this horse train in the morning, you wouldn't be surprised if someone said he's one of the 10 best horses in America. I mean, he just knocks your sack off when he works, particularly in company. You know, Phil's a friend of mine, and he trains Gumtree Lane for the houses, so I talk to him quite often. And look, this horse has accomplished quite a bit.
Yeah.
But to watch him train in the morning, you always get the idea that there might be something else. There might be something more there. I don't blame him for taking a shot in this race. I don't.
And Matt Shearer is about as lucky a guy as is walking the planet. He seems to win the Glorious Empire story that came out of absolutely nowhere, a horse that bled so badly they almost retired him, and now he's a grade one winner. Everything Shearer touches, and it doesn't matter if it's with Carlos Martin, George Weaver, or with now with D'Amato or Chucky Lawrence, he wins.
You know?
It's weird.
I mean, everyone wishes they could be that lucky, but not everyone is. So, you know, we're going to find out. I mean, like I said, this horse will knock your socks off when you walk him training in the morning, but he's definitely going to have to step it up to beat the other two California horses.
Can Giant Expectations get a small check?
Yes. Yes.
How small?
Third or fourth.
There we go. That's what we were looking for. Let's go to the Philly and Mare Turf. If you've got any thoughts here, what has caught your eye? Obviously, Paved in here that has had a nice campaign for McCarthy.
I hope Paved and Four Star Crook Dead Heat.
Yeah,
you know, it's. You know, it's your basic Philly and Mare Turf. You have two very, you know, I mean. You could probably say that Sister Charlie and Four Star Crook are the two most accomplished American turf mares this year. And, And they, and you know, they probably are the best chances America has. Paved she looks terrific. Is she a first, you know, I mean, it's not an easy spot to run your first race, you know, in the Breeders' Cup like this, but she did step up and ran well with older mares the other day. Vasilika didn't come here, so it's tough to get a gauge on you know, how much she's stepping up in class. I don't have any problem admitting that California's turf division isn't near what it used to be. I mean, if you'd ever told me back in the glory days of Frankel and Whittingham and Gosden and McAnally that one guy would have a better turf division than all of California put together one day, I would have told you you were crazy, but that has happened. But, you know, we'll see. I think, you know, I think she's going to, Paved is going to run well, but where that stacks her up, I don't know. I mean, it looks like there's going to be an honest pace in the race. And, you know, we're just going to have to see how much it rains and what the turf's like by then and who's takes to it and so on and so forth.
What went on this morning from your viewpoint with Wild Illusion when she dropped the jock? Did she spook or what
was going
on? She spooked. Okay, I wasn't
sure. She was backtracking and all of a sudden something startled her and she spooked and the rider came off, but it's not like the rider, you know, did three somersaults and was knocked unconscious. He landed on his feet, held on to the reins. And
then she tore into she tore around there with Verve.
Yeah, I think, you know, she worked a half mile. I mean, I had the final half in 49 and change, and you know, unlike America, I think Europeans still don't hesitate in working a horse a half mile 3 days out before the race and stuff like that, and that's what she did today. And you know, she seemed fine. I mean, her record speaks for itself, and you know, we'll see what happens on Saturday.
The sprint comes next, and we'll sprint through the finish. We got 10 minutes, Gary, and of course, here we are with another defending winner, Peter Miller, and the Rockingham team. Roy H. Comes out of that Santa Anita Sprint Championship in pretty mundane, you know, pretty race was run in fairly pedestrian timing. Ransom the Moon was going to be a horse I was going to be interested in, and unfortunately gets hurt and is forced to retire. Some thoughts about what you've seen here and what your feeling is going into the sprint.
I don't know. I mean, I was kind of looking at Ransom the Moon too, although the distance might have been a little short for him, but now he's headed to Calumet Farm. You know, you can't not admire Whitmore and Limousine Liberal. I mean, it seems like they've had a lot of tussles over the years. They both are very familiar with this racetrack. You know, depending on how the pace of the race comes up and everything, it could be a spot where a three-year-old could step up and take down these horses and promises fulfilled. You know, once they, you know, relegated themselves to the fact that he's a better one-turn horse. He's done nothing wrong, and he's been hooked in a lot of these races.
Absolutely.
And still fought back. It's not like he's been cruising out there two or three lengths in front. He's been hooked and has fought back. So it's obviously how, you know, the first three strides are going to have a lot to do with the race. Imperial Hint, you know, it's kind of... when he's right, I mean, you know at the 3/8 pole, when he's right, he's just got Javier just bent over, and it pretty much looks like the race is over. You know, whether that's going to happen this day or not, I don't know. I mean, very interesting race. Very interesting race.
It's who gets the lead, him or Promises Fulfilled?
I'll let you know three steps out of the gate.
We'll get to the mile. And you mentioned a horse that is a bit of a mojo player in next shares. It seems like people have cleaned their glasses as to his potential in here.
You know, he was bought out of the Horses of Racing Age sale, and he was okay, and then all of a sudden – He, you know, that race at Keeneland the other day was unbelievable. I mean, once he got through, it was like adios, amigo. Catapult was one of the, I think it was the first horse since Tom's Tribute to win both the Eddie Reed and Delmar Mile in his races, and nice horse, a nice horse for sure.
Tom's Tribute is Cassidy.
Yeah, my man. Expert Eye had a very nice little work this morning, and Sir Michael Stout knows how to win these races, and that horse will make my ticket. And Polly Dream has done nothing wrong since she came to town. You know, in many worlds, a three-year-old filly running against older colts would, you know, cause for concern. But this filly has done very well, and there's been other three-year-old fillies do very well in this race from Europe. Those would be the two Euros I'd look at in this race, Expert Eye and Polly Dream.
Abel Tasman, of course, most likely had whatever little bug was going around that Baffert barn. And Baffert on that Monday, when I had him on, he said point blank, she was down in that section where a lot of horses were sick. It seems like, if you're watching the XBTV works, Gary, it seems like she's back to herself. And like Marley's Freedom, if she runs her A race, she wins.
She does. You know, Baffert's as good a horse trainer as I've ever seen. I don't know if I can remember a horse running this bad 4 weeks before the Breeders' Cup and bouncing back and winning the Breeders' Cup. You know, Midnight Loot had a train wreck at Del Mar, but then Bob had 3 months to get him right when he won his second Breeders' Cup at Santa Anita. So, but I don't know if I can remember a horse running as bad as this filly did and coming back and winning 4 weeks later in the Breeders' Cup. If she brings her race that she ran on Belmont Day, or if she brings her race that she ran at Saratoga, she is probably going to win this race. The personal ensign at Saratoga was a war. Look, Elate and Abel Tasman, they threw it down that day, and unfortunately Elate has not been seen since, and Abel Tasman in her only race since then ran like anything but Abel Tasman. You know, I will say one thing, a Monomoy Girl, though she kind of waits on horses a little bit when she makes the lead, is definitely a big strapping filly that has a license to step up and play with older mares. And when I was in New York to see that weekend to see Four Star Crook and Call Paul Wren, Wildcat did wow me. She did wow me. Okay. Okay, that's about it for there.
The turf and the classic, the late double, and Enable was out there today. I thought she looked spectacular.
She's an eyeful, I'll tell you what. She's got some long legs on her. She kind of looks like Cindy Crawford back in the day. You know, Robert Bruce. I know a lot of people are a little bit suspicious or concerned as to what. You know, what was in the Arlington Million this year. They think it might not have been the strongest addition, but he is marching right now for Chad Brown. He is marching.
The classic, Gary, you've had a chance to watch McKinsey since he came back from the terrific effort in Philadelphia. West Coast, Baffert seemed pleased when I talked to him that Monday with the effort, snapping, you know, coming back off the long layoff, and got exactly, he thought he would propel him five. He said that'll make up five lengths. Your thoughts up and down in this classic?
You know, Accelerate, it's very rare to see a horse peak at age five like this horse has, but that's a tribute to Sadler's training of this horse. For a horse that's all his life been an average workhorse, he's working better than he ever has before, which makes him not a weak favorite in my book. McKenzie, Bob Melvinized him for that race. He said he Melvinized him, and to get him ready off the bench to win the Pennsylvania Derby was very good. He told me that the horse lost a little weight in that race, but since then he's put the weight back on. His works at Santa Anita for this race have been terrific. Roaring Lion, Gosden, he's been here before, both in this race and in America. And he popped his horse out of the gate this morning to try to get a little more speed into him, or just have him where he doesn't
wake him up.
Well, yeah, you don't want him out the back in this kind of race. West Coast looked at absolute picture galloping this morning when he came on the track. That probably come down to those four with me, just as it was a lot of other people. If I had to go with one, it would probably be Accelerator West Coast. It would be, because Mackenzie.
You like the older horses.
Well, Mackenzie has never ran against older horses, and Roaring Lion's never ran on the dirt, so the other two have less to prove than West Coast and Accelerate.
How will Rosario handle the 14 home?
Oh, John likes his horses up close, and Joel, I mean, I don't think, I don't think there's not loaded with speed in the race. I think with the 5/16 of a mile run to the turn, I think Joel will be able to get him over, you know.
Best big price to use underneath.
In the classic?
Yep.
Wow, let's...
Pavel, Yoshida, Axelrod.
I think Yoshida will come and pick up the pieces to get in the superfecta if he gets the right kind of trip. I do.
Axelrod.
No,
I like Axelrod.
You know, I'm wishing Whitey and my friend Little Nick best of luck, but I don't know. Okay.
I threw him in. I thought he had a look coming into this. Gary Young, where can you be seen? Are you at Yuck Yucks this weekend or any stand up?
Jeff Ruby's.
Jeff Ruby's. I'll be in the main room.
right.
I love it. Thank you, as always.
Anytime.
You can't be beat. Gary Young, everybody. And there you go. You should be set. Hope you were taking notes. And if you didn't, you can hear the replay tomorrow morning. And, Larry Snyder and Doc Danner will join us tomorrow, his longtime agent. And, yeah?
I mean, within the last year, when I was a kid and my dad was taking me to Arlington Park, Snyder was a leading rider and Van Berg was the leading trainer. And within a year,
both gone.
They're gone.
Gary Young, everybody. I want to thank not just Gary, of course, but Pete Fornatel. We had Jake Ballas and Jonathan Kinchin and Marshall Graham, Sid Fernando, and Frank Angst. This will all be repeated tomorrow morning, 6 to 9, and then we'll pick it up for the Thursday edition. Steve Haskin, Tony Black, who won again this past weekend at 67. He'll be 100, Gary says, in winning races. Good luck if you're playing today. There is some action around, including right here at Churchill Downs. Sirius XM at the races. Talk to you tomorrow, everybody.
You have to go killing all the bees.
Hey-oh!
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. And it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people. 4.5 million rescued and resettled so far. When they said, "Give us your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," we were the ones at the docks helping them breathe free. Only now it's a farmer from Darfur, a shop owner from Syria, a family from Ukraine, a child from Colombia, a Christian from Iran, a gay man from Uganda. The 65 million souls who still wander the earth in search of sanctuary. Why? Maybe it's because being Jewish means you don't have to be reminded never to forget. Hyas, for the refugee.
Visit HIAS.org to understand the mission and support the work of HIAS.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then BridgeNet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. The BridgeNet.com Performance Plan offers unlimited PDF past performances for just $75 per month and is available at BridgeNet.com/PP. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats, for only $275 per year and is available at BridgeNet.com/APR. The BridgeNet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is just $125 per month. Visit BridgeNet.com for all this information and more, and discover why BridgeNet.com is the handicapper's edge.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9 938-4643.